I'm Don Matthews, and I'm joined in the studio live by a guitar student, Ty Austin. Ty, welcome to the Siskiyou Music Hall. It's great to have you.
Hello, Don. Thank you for having me.
So you're a guitar major here. Now, I imagine you've been playing guitar for a while. When did you start playing the guitar?
I actually began my guitar studies at age 18 in 2008 when I started studying at SOU.
So before your studies at SOU, did you have any interest at all in the guitar? I mean, did you have that guitar moment that we all do as teenagers? Like, you know, I want to get a guitar and, you know, play the guitar and have meet girls or whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. My brother actually started playing rock guitar before I did, and he inspired me to pick up the instrument and impress the young ladies, just like most teenage boys. But the first time that I heard the classical guitar being performed in concert, I immediately fell in love with the instrument and found my life's passion.
I read somewhere that you've decided you just knew at that moment what you can do with your life was to be a guitar player. Now, I read also, did you really get your first classical guitar at a pawn shop?
I did. I bought my first guitar at Mefford Pawn Shop. Yes.
Yeah, you still have it?
I do.
Yeah, and you play it very much?
I don't. I've definitely progressed beyond that level. Yeah. The action's really high, and it doesn't really sing.
So you saw a classical guitar concert. That's what got you interested in classical music?
Actually, it was a music festival, and there just happened to be a classical guitarist just playing like a little interlude, and I thought it was the highlight. It should have been the highlight of the festival, considering it was just a bunch of reggae guys, but no offense to reggae guys. it was just blew my mind, and I think I was probably the most affected that night by the music, but I don't know.
How did you come to SOU? What was it that brought you here? Did you study with somebody
Absolutely.
First? Yeah.
Well, the individual I heard performing that night, we came across each other at a bus stop, and I asked if he was taking any students, and he accepted me. And after about three or four lessons, he taught me the basic posture and just kind of the rudimentaries of the classical guitar. Uh-huh. And then I started having questions that he couldn't answer, and he quickly referred me to David Rogers, who was the head of guitar department at SOU, and passed it on to James Edwards in 2010.
Okay, so that was 2008.
That was 2008.
Okay, and so did you read music or anything at that time?
You just
had to learn all that as well as your basic
instruments. Exactly.
Well.
I knew nothing about theory or sheet music. I actually thought music was based on what they call tablature. It's a form of sheet music that is for guitarists, but it's specific to the instrument. So I thought that most music, even if it was for another instrument, had a similar approach to tablature. But then I came to SOU and had to learn music theory, fundamentals of music, oral skills, all the goods.
That's great. Well, Ty Austin is my guest here on the Siskiyou Music Hall. Ty, can you play something right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to play you a lovely little piece by Francisco Tárrega. This is entitled Lágrima, and it was composed during a spell of homesickness while he was touring London, England.
Thank you.
Ty Austin is my guest here on the Siskiyou Music Hall. Ty, thank you. There's a beautiful piece by Francisco Tárrega.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. So you're enrolled now at SOU, and you're taking all the basic music courses and stuff and starting to study privately with David Rogers. And right away, right off the bat, you win a scholarship from the Southern Oregon Arts and Research Symposium. How did that happen?
Within 6 months of my formal guitar studies, Mr. Rogers invited me to audition for the guitar performance major at SOU, which I succeeded in July. And then just about 6 to 8 months after that, I won my first music competition, which was at the Southern Oregon Arts and Research Symposium 2009. Uh-huh. And I was a contestant with several other selected musicians from around the campus, and we performed and gave a short presentation based just describing that performance.
Okay, so you must really be out there working hard, studying hard as a freshman, already doing some performing. Did you did a lot more performing as the years went on? You're studying, and you're also writing music. But I understand that, for example, you played in different. How shall I say it? Establishments like Habaneros in Medford and Winchester, and you still play places like that?
I don't particularly anymore. I'm focusing more on my concert career, playing in more recital halls and different venues and the like. But when I was paying my way through undergrads, I developed my own private music business, uh-huh. and I'd go around and solicit myself to local restaurants and wineries, and I'd play weddings and just anywhere I could to make a little extra cash and get some performance experience.
Exactly. I was going to say it's great for a performance experience. It's almost like, not practice. I don't want to say you're practicing
in public,
but in a way it is, because it gets you to sort of do that.
Exactly. Yeah. They always say, my professors say, there's practice and then there's rehearsal.
Yeah.
Rehearsal is what you do after you've already practiced. You've already got all the notes and all the rhythms and everything. Mm-hmm. Rehearsal is really just practicing the performance.
Right.
Not necessarily repertoire.
Okay. That's great. And we skip ahead now. And in 2011, you opened for Sharon Isbin at the Brit. You played when Sharon Isbin was here at the Brits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Oh, that was amazing. I actually got an email via a forward from James Edwards,
uh-huh.
and the Brit festivals were looking for a young and upcoming guitarist to open up for Sharon Isbin, who is the chair of guitar studies and is also a multiple Grammy award winning artist.
Yeah,
so this was a huge opportunity for me to boost my career and get my name out in the public, and also make a debut at Brit festivals, which is one of our most prestigious venues.
Yeah, and you got to play there with them. And then a Brookings Friends of Music scholarship after that.
Absolutely.
Now, as part of the scholarship, did you play out at Brookings a couple concerts, or how did that come about?
No, I actually I submitted an audition tape for a regional music competition that the Friends of Music were sponsoring.
Uh-huh.
And I was contacted a few months later and notified that I had won first prize in the instrumentalist division. Uh-huh. There were three prizes, one pianist, one vocal, and one instrumentalist. So I was competing amongst all pianists, all string instruments, wind, and the like.
Yeah.
So they featured us in a nice little tour of Brookings, Oregon,
uh-huh.
and we got to perform our repertoire that we submitted for the contest.
Great,
edition.
And a little cash as well.
It was a considerable scholarship fund.
Excellent. It's always nice to get that extra when you're trying to get to your undergrad.
Absolutely. Work. Yeah. That actually really helped. To fund my graduate prospectus.
Yeah. You're listening to Ty Austin here on Siskiyou Music Hall. I'm Don Matthews. This past spring, you were played in Carnegie Hall. Tell me about that situation. How did that end up happening for you?
That was a dream come true. I have had my sights set on that for years, uh-huh. as many musicians do. And I submitted to the American Protégé International Piano and Strings Competition, in which I won first prize, uh-huh. and was featured in a winner's recital hall at winner's recital at Carnegie Hall in New York.
And this was just this past spring.
Yeah, that was in March, actually, March 3rd. I got to go to New York, and I stayed there for a week, and I auditioned at several prestigious conservatories like Juilliard and Royal Academy of Music, and it was just an amazing experience. I'm forever changed.
I can't wait to hear more about some of the auditions, but can you play something else?
Absolutely.
You have to play something else?
Absolutely.
Ty Austin is my guest here on the Siskiyou Music Hall, and what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a nice Spanish piece. It's written by an anonymous composer, but it's developed into become a kind of a standard staple of the guitar repertoire. This is called Spanish Romance and is by an anonymous composer.
Ty Austin, my guest on Siskiyou Music Hall. Ty, that was beautiful. Thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
So you're in New York, and you did some auditions, including where you're going next. Tell me about what's coming next.
Absolutely. I was just notified last month that I have been awarded a near full ride scholarship to attend the Chicago College of Performing Arts Music Conservatory, studying under Denis Azabajic, who's a world-renowned Bosnian bass guitarist.
Right, we have some of his recordings in the station. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, he's on Naxos and Sedil, some of the most prestigious classical labels.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
Starting in the fall, then.
Starting in the fall,
okay. Now, I understand you've written a lot of music as well. You're a composer as well.
Absolutely.
You've written about 40 pieces of music.
Over 40 at this point,
There was one in particular that I read about. I wanted to get a little more information, and that is the Requiem that you wrote for David Grubbs, the clerk at Shop and Cart who was murdered a couple of years ago. And I remember reading an article about that. Tell me a little bit about that process.
This was composed during a piece when I was watching a lot of Amadeus and Immortal Beloved, which are some nice classical musics showcasing
the
lives of Mozart and Beethoven.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it was a standard practice for them when somebody died close to them or in their community, they would write a death mass or a requiem for that person. And I was approached by a community member, a good colleague of mine actually, and he actually asked me to set a poem that he wrote revised several books in the Bible, several different selections from books in the Bible, and then made his own sort of version of a poem.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me to set that to music, and I chose to set it to classical guitar, three voices, soprano, alto, and bass, and then stand-up bass, which was the instrument that David Grubbs played himself.
Okay. And so you actually consulted with the family on that when
you did
it? And
we wanted to make sure that everything was appropriate and that it wouldn't be crossing any barriers that would be hard to deal with. And we actually invited them and received their reception at the concert.
Right. And it was you performed at a concert?
Yeah, well actually it was premiered at my composition recital, my student composition recital, which is a 45-minute composition recital featuring all of my original work at SOU.
And so taking a little work to get all these players together, finding time for rehearsal.
Oh, that was huge. That was huge. Yeah. No. Well, I composed a piece for symphonic orchestra.
Yes.
And I conducted and directed the orchestra myself.
Yes.
Like it took me a long time. I set up this page on Facebook, and you know I'm searching and emailing everybody. Hey,
can you play this?
Would you mind helping me out? You're an amazing soprano. You're an amazing flautist. All this kind of stuff.
Everybody
was really supportive. Really game. It was amazing crew. Amazing energy. And it was just a great collaboration for me to gain, for all of us to gain professional experience and what it's really like to produce a concert by yourself without the aid of an instructor.
Just the idea of the logistics of getting everyone's calendars
syncing
up so you can have two rehearsals before you do the performance.
Exactly.
It's a great learning experience.
Yeah, we did. Most clubs are kind of used to meeting at least twice a week throughout a 10-week period for the whole term before they give a concert.
Right.
We only had three rehearsals.
I was
trying to treat them like professionals, even though we weren't professionals. I was asking a little too much.
You kind of read about that in a lot of music history, where a certain performance is premiered, and you kind of read about that it had like two or three rehearsals before it was performed. You think, oh my God, Beethoven's Ninth with three rehearsals or something like that.
Exactly.
Well, it's great. And now I understand you've got something that's going to be premiering coming up on Sunday.
Absolutely.
As part of the chamber choir concert choir doing a performance coming up this Sunday at 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock on June 9th.
And so tell me a little bit about that piece now. What brought that about?
Well, as a guitarist, I primarily see myself as a guitar performer, concert artist, and I've taken up composition as a side interest and have really tried to develop that. And being that I started out on guitar, I try to incorporate the guitar into every piece that I play.
Yeah.
It's something that Villa-Lobos did a lot as well.
Uh-huh.
Almost every one of his compositions features the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And I was really inspired by that because he was a guitarist himself.
Yes.
And So I all performance majors are required to participate in 6 terms of large ensemble credits. And considering that there's not a guitar orchestra or parts for guitar in the symphonic band, they make pianists and guitarists sign up for concert choir
for six terms
to get that large ensemble credit.
Right, right.
And I'm totally cool with that. I mean, I've gained a lot
and
of
you
experience.
You can sing, you can carry a tune, all
exactly.
that stuff.
Exactly. Well, and it's more than that. It's giving me insights on composition, on being a conductor, on being a leader, on being a group leader, group section leader, I should say. say.
Yes.
You know, all these things, they're really beneficial. However, I was like kind of feeling like, well, why am I having to sing when my main instrument is guitar? So I proposed to Dr. Grimlin, who's the director of the concert choir,
right?
If she would be okay premiering one of featuring me as a guitar accompanist with the choir this term, and considering that there isn't much repertoire out there for guitar and choir, I suggested that we use one of my own, which is a beautiful Ubi Caritas,
okay.
which is an ancient
Latin text
yeah. for the foot washing of Maundy Thursday. And so what I did is I took several themes from Pachelbel's Canon and D. Gounod's Ave Maria and Schubert's Ave Maria, some Bob Marley. Took themes from many different composers that I've liked and listened to throughout the ages, and synthesized them into this work. And it's a lovely text. It starts in Latin. The B section is then translated into English, and then we end in Latin.
And that's coming up. World premiere on Sunday.
World premiere is on Sunday
at
June 3
o'clock. At the SOU o'clock. Music Recital Hall, and I'm sure there'll be tickets available if you want to come and catch that. Ty Austin, my guest here on the Siskiyou Music Hall. Ty, you got time for one more piece?
Absolutely.
Great. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a lovely piece by Francisco Tárrega. Once again, this is composed for his daughter. This is entitled Marietta.
Ty Austin, my guest on Siskiyou Music Hall. Ty, thank you so much for coming in today. Tell us, you got a website and all that stuff. People can go out there and find out more about you and where you're playing and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. You can find me on the web at tyaustin.com. That's TYEAUSTIN.
That's great. And good luck in Chicago.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate everybody at JPR for having me.